You know, a couple of weeks ago, there was a young burglar, and he was caught very easily because he left his cell phone at the scene of the crime. Maybe you saw that on the news. And the police made him, you know, return everything, so it was one of those good cases. Nothing was damaged. And a police officer said, if other burglars would leave their wallets and personal possessions, it would sure make life a lot easier for us to find them. So this young man wasn't smart, and he wasn't wise. Now, Webster's New World College Dictionary, the fourth edition, defines wisdom as, quote, judging rightly and following the soundest course of action based on knowledge, experience, and understanding, end quote. Hopefully your experience is not your own all the time. You can learn from the experience of others. We can learn wisdom from the advice of others and from the mistakes of others. Sometimes all you have to do is watch the mistakes of others. You know, you won't be doing the same thing this burglar did. And you realize, you know, that's the wrong way to go. And a lot of times, you know, when our kids were growing up, we'd see things like this and just make sure our kids saw it. And they would know, yeah, we're not going to do anything like that. That's dumb. And they would get the point. And it's good for them to learn that, you know, the wrong way of doing things. We used to have a guy at work. And for some reason, he made life difficult for himself all the time. Just normal everyday things he would fight. He would get into mistakes, make his own mistakes, and then he would blame it on somebody. And he would say, I'm going to sue you, or whatever he was going to do. And he was always upset about something. And pretty much we just watched him and said, okay, we're going to do the opposite of what he does. So we learn from the mistakes of others. In the book of Proverbs, there are many scriptures that reference wisdom. The word prudent is also used in conjunction with wisdom. It's very similar to wisdom. So you can learn about wisdom in the book of Proverbs also by learning about the opposite of a wise man. That's a fool. You say, okay, here's wise. Here's a foolish man. Don't do what the foolish man does. The Hebrew word for foolish is ivvelet. I-V-V-E-L-E-T. Of course, that's in the English language. Or English, the phonetic alphabet. And that's the absence of wisdom. Complete opposite of wisdom. They have no wisdom. Also, a couple other books that teach a lot about wisdom are Ecclesiastes and the book of James. If you remember the book of Job, Job had some friends. And the older friends were giving him all their advice. And finally, the young one, Elihu, waits and waits and waits. And then finally he says, you know, I waited because you guys were older. And one of the parts of this response was, great men are not always wise, nor do the aged always understand justice. You know, you tend to associate wisdom with age, but it's not always the case. Don't forget, young fools grow old, and they become old fools. Sometimes they learn a few things from their mistakes, but many times they don't. There were many older kings in Judah and Israel, but Josiah was the youngest of all the kings, and he was one of the wisest. He was definitely the most righteous man, and he was very young. He was 8 years old, and he became king. How many of you are older than eight? How many of you are eight? Seven? Six? Six, okay. You're a couple of years away. You can wait. So here he is, 8 years old. You've got 2 years to train to be king. And as my wife reminded me, he probably had the priests and everybody giving him advice, but he had, when he was born, his father was 16 years old. And anyway, He was a young man, and he was motivated by God instead of people, which is very unusual at that age. And he got rid of the pagan worship in the whole country. And he had a fear of God, which gave him wisdom. Unfortunately, at the end of his life, he made a mistake. He opposed God, and he should have realized he shouldn't have done that. He died at the age of 39. Very, very sad. Solomon was considered so wise that he was called wiser than any before him or after him. The Queen of Sheba came to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and she was amazed at what she heard. It was more than what she had heard before she got there. The reality was greater than what she thought. Solomon wrote 3,000 proverbs and 1,005 songs, but women were his downfall. That happens to a lot of men. Women were his downfall. Even a wise man can do unwise things. Now, most of us want to be wiser. It's better than being a fool. You know, we live on a chip seal road. And if you've been to our house, you might have learned when you drive down the road certain things to do. Because you don't just drive straight, especially in the last section, before you get to our house. We've got potholes. So what you do is you say, okay, I'm going to drive left over here, drive right over here, drive left over here, and you avoid the potholes. Because you know, through experience, you don't want to go right through those potholes. It looks crazy to some people, but some people just ignore it. I saw a truck driving the other day, young guy, right through the potholes at a higher speed than normal. He's killing his truck. But he doesn't seem to matter. He doesn't seem to understand that he's killing his truck. Without wisdom, you tend to hit all the big bumps and potholes in the road of life. And sometimes you have bumps that hit everybody. Natural disasters. That's like a speed bump that's going across the entire road. It's going to hit everybody. But you need to slow down at least. Wisdom makes life a lot smoother. There are still bumps in the road, but they aren't so big. You have wisdom, and you learn how to avoid them. So let's look at 7 characteristics of wise men and wise women. And maybe you can be a wise guy this way. 1, wise men fear God. Let's go to Proverbs 9 and verse 10. One of the memorization scriptures that you've probably heard many times is, a fool says in his heart there is no God, and you want to do the opposite of a fool if you're going to be wise. Go to Proverbs 9, verse 10. It says, the fear of the Eternal is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So why is the fear of God the beginning of wisdom? Now, one way of looking at fear of God is respect of God. If you respect somebody, you do what they say, right? If you fear God, you're going to align your priorities with God's priorities. And you all of a sudden learn what's important in life. You say, hey, life is short. I only live so long. What's going to happen at the end of my life? You're concerned with eternal life all of a sudden. You don't want to just die and that be the end of your life. And so you can learn from the creator of the universe, who's the wisest being of all. There's a song that we sing. And it says, the foolishness of God is wiser by far than man is. That's how wise God is. You can also learn from the advice and mistakes of other people in the Bible. If you work for a prestigious company and the owner of the company wrote a handbook, you'd probably pay attention to it. You'd read it and try to follow it. You might get a promotion. They'd at least be impressed. When you fear God, what do you pay attention to? There's only one book. It's the Bible. It's what he says. and he has written down, and it's his handbook of life. And so all of a sudden you say, hey, maybe I should do what's in here. Now there's a lot in here, but when you truly fear God, you pay attention to what's in there, and you try to follow it. A lot more important than some handbooks. Even at McDonald's, they had a handbook. Not that that many people read it when you worked at McDonald's, but you still follow some of the principles. But you pay attention to what God has written in the Bible. When you fear God, you respect Him. Number two, wise men are humble. Let's go to Proverbs 11, verse 2. It says, when pride comes, then comes shame, but with the humble is wisdom. Why is that? Well, humble people who are wise, they don't let pride get in the way of success in life. Most successful companies have leaders who learn to surround themselves with the best leaders, and they delegate to them. They know that they don't know it all. As the company grows, they realize, hey, I need help. They don't know it all, and they want input from their employees. They also admit their mistakes. Now, there was a company recently, I can't mention the name, but the CEO made a fairly major mistake, but it was too late. Loses customers. So he probably did not take any advice from anybody in his company before he made that decision, because they probably would have told him something different. And as a company grows, of course, that CEO can't do it all. A lot of times the founders of companies will think, oh, I'm in charge, I'm the one that knows it all. And they'll just keep doing that until they run the company into the ground. It's good for a while, but it can't always work. So wise men are humble. They always realize there are other people that might be smarter than they are. So you need to learn from others. Number three, this is tied in with this. Wise men take advice. Let's go to Proverbs 12. And verse 15. It says, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise. So a fool says, hey, I know it all. I'm not going to listen to anybody else. But a wise man heeds counsel to take advice. A fool thinks he knows everything already. He won't listen to advice. Advice can come from many sources, and you have to be open to a variety of sources. Your pastor has been through a lot, especially nowadays. You know, back in the early days of the church, they sent out people in their 20s. Well, now they're in their late 50s, 60s, 70s. They've gone through a lot in life. It dealt with a lot of different people, a lot of different families, a lot of different situations. So you can gain wisdom by listening to them. Those you work with, sometimes you work with some pretty smart people, other times you don't. So you have to take that into account. You can talk to people at work and learn from their mistakes, because sometimes they suffer some big mistakes. Some people just make major mistakes in life, and they say, okay, I want to warn everybody else. And they feel strongly about it. You need to listen to those people. They want to give advice to other people. I remember one day I was at the barber. There's this guy sitting in the chair, and you could tell he was just sad, very sad. He said after he married his wife, he would come home from work. Every day, his wife would be watching soap operas. She hadn't done any work around the house. And so he had to cook and clean and do the laundry after he finished working at his job. And you could tell he was very sad because he couldn't do anything about it. And he was giving out advice that was good for singles, a little late for people who were married, but it was good for singles. So if you meet somebody special, anybody single here? Yeah. Anybody young that's growing up? Pay attention. Yeah, I see your hands go up in the back, yeah. Okay, how old are you? 8, 9? 9, okay. It'll be a few more years. But pay attention to the person you're about to get engaged to, because sometimes there's warning signs. You have to pay attention to some of the details. People will be on their best behavior. You know, when they're about to get married to somebody, they say, oh, I'm going to be good. They get married, and it's like, boom, they let down. And then all of a sudden you see that. So this lady, who knows, maybe she gave up warning signs, maybe she didn't. But boy, he couldn't do anything about it after that. What about career advice? You know, when you're in high school, well, elementary school, you kind of have some ideas of what you want to do in life, right? You get a little older, junior high, you start getting some more ideas. High school, you got to really narrow it down fast. And you need to choose your career, or at least narrow it down dramatically. And it's best to get advice from those in the field. So I remember I was actually in elementary school, fourth grade. My teacher said, you're going to be an engineer. I don't know why she said that, but something to do with math, I guess. Well, it turned out she knew better, and I got to high school. I thought, okay, I'm going to be an engineer. Got to my senior year, you have to put down your major, change to math and computer science. Got to school, dropped out 2 years later, eventually came into the church, but changed my major back to engineering, went back, finished. It would have helped in high school to have had somebody come in and give a talk, so that they would tell you what the job is like. Because it's hard for people in high school to say, okay, I know what I'm going to do, without advice from somebody in the field. It's important to get advice. What about major purchases? Now, you could just, like, say it's an appliance. You could just say, hey, I'm going to go out and buy that. It's a good price. I like the color. I'm going to go out and buy this washer and dryer. Good color. You might get lucky. You might not. But it's good to get the advice ahead of time so you know what you're getting. The internet has many places today to get advice that weren't available years ago. So it's good to go and check things out before you buy, so you know how long something's going to last, or supposed to last. 1979. I bought a car. And I thought it looked good. And it looked good. The modern version of that car, you know, that's, what, 32 years ago? Looks really good now. They kept the model up. It's one of the best-looking cars around, I think. Looks good. Well, unfortunately, a week ago I gave this sermon. I didn't have this information, but we were cleaning out our filing cabinet. Boom. There it is. Information on what happened. I had a car, and the engine wore out after 68,000 miles. It was burning oil, of course, before that, but the repair was made at 68,000 miles. 1985. It cost $595 in 1985. That's $1,250 today. For what reason? Because of their poor design. It was an engineering mistake. The metal that was used in the engine was not as hard as it should have been. 68,000 miles. Crazy. And so, unfortunately, I didn't learn from that mistake. So next, later on, I had another from the same manufacturer. Well, actually a van and then a truck. The truck had an electrical system that would wear out batteries. I thought, okay, what's going on here? Finally, I got wiser. Current vehicle is 8 years old. No major problems in the first 100,000 miles, nothing. Brakes lasted 102,000 miles on the front disc brakes. Rear brake shoes 50% left at 102,000 miles. So it pays to get advice and to get something that's going to last you for a while. It doesn't cost that much more anyway. Proverbs 13:1. It says, a wise son heeds his father's instruction, but a scoffer does not listen to rebuke. Your parents can give you advice. You know, one of the things that stuck in my memory from age 5 is my father saying, we do not lie or steal. And he was going on about several of the Ten Commandments in this family. And he was so strong about it. That's it. That's what affected me the rest of my life. That statement. And so I followed it. Your parents have more experience in life and they know you better. Sometimes your parents know you better than you realize. Because sometimes a child will take on the personality of one of the parents. And the parent can look at that child and know what's going on in that parent, that child's head. I do that with our daughter. And I think our daughter does that with me. Anyway, they know you. They know what your weaknesses are. You spend a lot of time with your parents. Listen to them and try to follow their advice. You know, Josiah being 8 years old when he became king, his father was 16 years old when he was born. A young teenager. The grandmother probably raised him. You know, his mother might have been, who knows, 15 or 14 even. And she probably gave him very good advice. And he got advice from other sources. And, of course, he had a good, you know, relationship with the priests. Fathers can also take advice from their children. That happens. As the child gets older, they learn. They can also watch the parents, and they can say, okay, my father and my mother have a little weakness in this area. And they might say something to you, and sometimes it's good advice. There's a TV show called Restaurant Impossible. And the theme behind Restaurant Impossible is they go in and they get a phone call or something, email from a restaurant that's failing. And the restaurant is failing because of many reasons, but they're about to go bankrupt. And so they get to be on the show, and the chef, Robert Irvine, the big guy, comes in, sizes things up, and he tries to turn the restaurant around. And he's very good at sizing things up. Sometimes the situation involves a relationship between the father and the son. One episode, the son had culinary training, and he would make a better chef than his father. But the father had pride. And so the father would be out front with the customers in the front, not behind, with the rest of the chefs, and he'd be cooking something out front, and you could tell he just liked to be around people. He would not prosper being in the back as the head chef. So the guy, Chef Robert Irvine, took him and said, okay, you're no longer the executive chef, the father. He had a cooking test, and he found out that his son knew more than the father. The father never listened to the son, and the restaurant kept failing and failing. So the chef put the father in charge of dealing with the public out front, meeting and greeting people, things like that. That's what he liked. And then things started taking off. Unfortunately, you see, all these years, the father was letting pride get in the way of success of the restaurant. He wasn't being humble. This past week, there was an episode with a lady who had taken over a restaurant. Her brother also had a restaurant. And she thought, okay, my brother's running a restaurant, I can run a restaurant. And she started this restaurant, and it was failing. And he came in, and he says to the brother, he says, when was the last time she asked for advice from you? And he says, 10 years ago. So it's obvious that she didn't want to get advice from the brother. She was letting pride get in the way. In fact, on the TV show, that's exactly the words he used. She was letting pride get in the way of success. So sometimes even children can give advice to the fathers. Number four, wise men plan ahead and are cautious. Proverbs 10 and verse 5 says, he who gathers in summer is a wise son, but he who sleeps in harvest is a son who causes shame. So in an agricultural society, you've got to work in the summertime when the daylight is there, long days, you've got to plant, and you've got to harvest. And you've got other chores as well. And when it comes time for harvest, you can't wait. You got to be out there working. You got to get up before the sun. Got to go to bed shortly after the sun. We'll keep working. Some of these tractors have lights. You can go out and work past sunset even. You put in long, long hours. So you can't be lazy. Now, in modern society, you may not be doing work in agriculture, but maybe construction. You need to put in long hours in the summer. Weather is better. And you can get a lot more work done in the long days. Both of these professions require that you save your money during good seasons and good years. So you have something during the off season or the off years. Because you're not going to be able to spend all your money. If you have a lot of work going on, realize it may not last. Also, if you plan ahead, you might have some money on hand to buy things that are cheap at the right time. Maybe you need equipment for your job. Somebody's selling it because they're getting out of business. And it's good to be looking for a while, planning your purchases. And even if you're not in construction, it's good to be looking and planning your purchases. A few years ago, I never used to go out on Black Friday, right? Sound like a strange name anyway. I thought, that's just for women. Until one year, I had to go pick up something for our daughter's wedding. This is like 9 months before her wedding. And so while I'm there, I would go next door to the home improvement store. And I thought, yeah, that's a pretty good deal. I think I'll pick up one of those. Next year, I thought, okay, I'm going to get up a little early, not super early, go out there and check out what's available. Found out there's some pretty good deals. So then I try to do that every year now. I don't camp out at the electronics store, stay overnight, to get the one deal. But you can get good deals on things like that. I even got a deal on a Black Friday special in January. It was leftover. It was exactly the brand I was looking for and the model I was looking for at half the price. I come up, the guy's standing there, he says, you know, we have that in the back for $100 off. And I thought, okay. And I thought, it's got to be something different. He says, no, no. Walk to the back. I look at it, and okay, I'll take it. And they had that for a month and a half, all of December and part of January, sitting in the back at half the price. Certain times of the year, they have sales on clothes. You don't have to pay full price all the time. You're wise. Let's go to Proverbs 24 and verse 27. Proverbs 24, verse 27. It says, prepare your outside work make it fit for yourself in the field, and afterward build your house. So if you're a farmer, I guess it's what it's trying to tell you is build your barn, prepare your fields. You know, maybe you have to clear land. Do all that work before you build your house. That way you have a source of income when you plant or you're raising some kind of animals. You have a source of income. Then you can put your energy into the house. Today, mostly we buy houses. We don't necessarily build houses. But you can take that money then and put it into your house. Don't spread yourself too thin. If you are starting your own business, it's telling you to start your business first, then buy your house. Put your energy into the business. Get it going so you have income. What about if you didn't start your own business? Well, go to school. Get your degree. Get your job before you have a house. Before you try to spend money. Get your job. Prepare yourself. It's very hard to get your degree at night when you have a family and you're trying to go at night. It's very hard. Much easier to go and get it all done at one time and then get married and have your family. One or two classes at a time, your family would never see you hardly. Get your degree before you start your family and before you build your house or buy your house. Proverbs 22, verse 26. Do not be one of those who shakes hands in a pledge, one of those who is surety for debts. In other words, don't countersign a note unless you have the cash on hand. If you have nothing with which to pay, verse 27, why should he take away your bed from under you? You know, they would take things from you because you didn't have the cash to pay off the loan. You go bankrupt. Now, most of the time you don't sign notes for strangers. Maybe some of you have. What about a relative? What if they wanted to start a business? Many of these restaurants, they get loans from relatives. But they have to realize most restaurants fail. A lot of businesses fail. You have to think about the possibilities and the probabilities and know that that money may not come back. And you would be responsible for it. What about your child's first car? Anybody here ready to buy their first car? Oh, Mr. Mason, I guess you've been flying around a while. Fly everywhere? Never drive. Okay, your first car. Anyway, I can remember the first car was a used car. The first new car was where I had to have a loan signed off. And it was not that expensive of a car, but, you know, I had a 3-year loan. My father had to countersign it. And I paid it off. It was fine. But I wasn't spending a lot of money on the car. And I had enough money with a job that I was able to pay it off. Sometimes that doesn't always happen, so the parent has to know. You're responsible for that car, paying off the loan. You know, your son or your daughter may not have a job in a couple of years. Then what? So you better have cash on hand to pay off the car. Number 5. Think before you believe. Proverbs 14, verse 15. The simple believes every word, but the prudent man considers well his steps. Remember, the word prudent is similar to wisdom. The simple believes every word. Prudent man considers well his steps. prudent man checks to see where he's going. So another way of saying this is fools believe everything they're told. Ben Franklin once said, believe none of what you hear and half of what you see. So he's trying to tell you, filter what you're hearing and what you're seeing, what you're reading. Filter it and understand where it's coming from. Sometimes people tell you something that's inaccurate. And you got that from another person, or they got it from another person who was just passing on information that hadn't been researched well. That happens on the internet. That's why you have sites like Snopes. I will get so many emails. And it's generally from older people. And they're passing on emails, and they just these amazing stories. They never checked them on Snopes to see if they're true or not. And they sound great. I don't think I gave that here, but there was one with a mule and a mountain lion. Gave that down in Stockton. And it has pictures of the mule. Looks like it's just tossing around a mountain lion all over and over. It's got words underneath. Well, the words were put there by somebody else that didn't take the pictures. And they made the whole story up. And it's going passed around on the internet. And people say, I'd like to get a mule like that. And so this mule looks like it's a really mean mule, attacked the mountain lion. The mountain lion was shot dead. So the mule just picked up the dead mountain lion. But they had a whole story to go with it. And so you believe the story, the pictures and the words. It's just inaccurate information. Don't believe everything you read or see or hear. When you look at newspapers, newspapers will run stories from just a few sources, and they spread them across the country. And so those writers of those stories can spread inaccurate information or false information, and everybody believes it. So watch out for newspapers and TV news. TV news gets to go and take a video and clip it to exactly what they want to show. And sometimes it's very inaccurate. Because it's misrepresenting something, taken out of context. They want something sensational. So be careful when you see something on the news, when you read it in the newspaper, or you see it on the internet. Be careful. It takes time to really research something out. It's important to you. Sometimes you're actually lied to. And if it's important, you need to check out the facts. There are many scams on the internet are just, they're just too good to be true. They first want your bank account and social security number. How many of you have received the Nigerian scam letters? Oh, okay. Get them at work? I would get two a week at work. I couldn't figure out why our system never filtered it out. A Nigerian scam letter is a scheme. It's from Nigeria. People in Nigeria just sit down and they write these letters out, their emails, and they say, hello, my name is Oludori Nkambo. Says I'm from, and they pick out another nation in Africa, and says, I'm the widow of the former leader of, I'm trying to think of my country, Kenya, and that's not the best choice. But, my husband left $40 million, and we're trying to move the money out of the country into the United States. And says, can you help me with that? Can you give me your bank account number so I can move it into your bank account? And you will get 10%. And so people who are naive and greedy will fall for that. And so they give out their bank account number, and then the person's, you know, they get money, and they don't receive the other money in return. Back in the 1920s, they were doing this, and it was in Spain. And the scam on that was there was somebody who was in prison in Spain, and they were trying to get them out of prison. And this person in prison had all this money. If you could just get them out, they would pay you all these millions of dollars. And so you would send some money, and they say, well, we almost got him out of prison. and you send a little bit more money, and we can get him out of prison. And then they would run like that two or three times and get more and more money from the same people. So this scheme, this scam, has been around for a long time. Don't fall for it. They also have others where, I think it's worked on PayPal, other places on the internet, where they will have a false link on the internet, and it will go somewhere, and you're supposed to verify your information on some account. Don't do it. That's another one of those things to get information from you. So don't commit yourself without checking first. If you hired a private contractor, check on them first. We have Better Business Bureau today and other sources for checking on contractors. In fact, one of the other sources has just gone public, I think, or is about to go public. It keeps you out of trouble. What about a conflict of interest? There was a general contractor. He owned some land. And he was trying to sell the land. And a certain individual approached him. So he wanted to build on that land, buy the land, build on the land. So the contractor says, I'll handle the whole thing. Says, I'll build a house on the land, and I'll handle the building permit. Months and months go by. What happened to the building permit? Oh, it's still at the county. 6 months go by, no building permit. The guy had taken money up front, didn't build anything, and it turned out that the land was not buildable. So you could not build a house on that land. So they were left with, I believe, the land, and they lost a lot of money in the process. Paid them up front, never got anything out of the process. So check before you commit a lot of money to something. You can go to the store, and people fool you with labels on food nowadays. They just put the words healthy, and people buy it. Container sizes are smaller now. Ice cream, I've been told, is smaller. So you don't get the old sizes you think. You look at it, you grab it, and think, oh, that's about the right size. And it kind of looks a little smaller, and it is. They're selling it for the same price, but a smaller amount. So people can be deceiving in various ways. Let's go to Proverbs 18, verse 17. Proverbs 18, verse 17 says, the first one to plead his cause seems right until his neighbor comes and examines him. So somebody comes up and they tell the story about something and says, did you hear what so-and-so did to me? And they go on and on and on and on, tell all his details and all this. And then somebody else comes along and starts asking questions. Turns out that this is not a true story, or it's exaggerated, or the emphasis is on certain parts to make that person look good. And pretty soon you start investigating and find out, hey, this individual is just not telling the truth. You tend to believe that first person, and you won't find out anything different unless you listen to the second person. You need to get that second opinion, the conflicting opinion. You need to check on person. Check on the facts. They may not be telling the whole story. There are often two sides to a story, and when you put them together, they make the entire story. Sometimes there's one true story and one false story, a total fabrication. And there are very few connections between the two. So you need to let the second person talk as well as the first person. So think before you believe. This is the fifth point. Sixth point is think before you speak. Let's go to Proverbs 17. And verse 28 says, even a fool is counted wise when he holds his peace. When he shuts his lips, he's considered perceptive. I've been fooled a few times by people like that. You'd sit there and talking about something, and they're just sitting there, not saying a word. And it turns out that they just didn't have anything to say. They weren't wise. They just happened to know it's a good thing to be quiet, because you'll be considered to be wise. You're quiet, but you don't have the answer. But as it says here, even a fool is considered wise when he shuts his lips. That's the appearance he gives. Let's go to Proverbs 10 and verse 19. Proverbs 10 and verse 19. It says, in the multitude of words, sin is not lacking, but he who restrains his lips is wise. So, sometimes you get to be talking and talking and talking and talking, and you say things that you later regret because you're not controlling your words, you're not thinking before you're speaking. And you will sin with the words that you say. Sometimes you say so many things you can't remember what you said. You have less control when you say more words. So, as it says here, we need to restrain our lips. Think before we speak. And there's one scripture outside the book of Proverbs here, the book of James. James 1 and verse 19. It says, therefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. So you all need to be better listeners. Many times people will sit there, they're listening to somebody and they're thinking, oh, I know what I'm going to say. And I'm not going to listen to them. I'm just going to come up with my story while I'm standing here or sitting here listening. And they don't really listen carefully what that person is saying. Or they interrupt somebody in a conversation. You're just itching to come up with your side of the story or your story. But when you're slow to speak, it gives you time to think before you speak. And slow to wrath leads to the last point. Number 7, control your emotions. Let's go to Proverbs 14. And verse 17. Proverbs 14:17. He who is quick-tempered acts foolishly, and a man of wicked intentions is hated. So, we tend to break things more frequently when you're angry. And you can get into traffic accidents. There was a neighbor lady, and our driveway is 200 feet off the road. Theirs is maybe 100 feet to their house. 300 feet, you could easily hear her yelling. And you could tell she was in a rage, some argument with her husband. She goes off, gets in her car, drives off. Boom, accident. And you could tell it was going to happen. It was really predictable. She did not die. But I hope she learned a lesson to control herself. But she had to get out of the house, and she was still in a rage. Got into the car. It's not good to be driving around when you're in a rage. And you tend to say things that you later regret. So a quick-tempered man acts foolishly. Proverbs 29:11. Last scripture. Proverbs 29:11. A fool vents all his feelings, but a wise man holds them back. So that could be good or bad feelings. So the wise man has a governor on his emotions. Even when he's happy, he controls his good emotions as well as his bad. When you coach sports teams, you learn about good sportsmanship. So say you're winning a lot of games. You don't just go crazy when you win. You realize, hey, there's a team that just lost. You kind of control it a little bit. You also don't get angry when you lose. You don't throw things around when you lose. You don't get angry at the referee. You control your emotions. Don't let it all out. The wise man holds them back. So to conclude the whole thing, number one, fear God and read what he's written in his handbook. Respect him. Number two, stay humble. Number three, plan ahead in life and be cautious. And number four, get lots of good advice. Don't believe everything you hear or read. Check it out first. Think before you speak. Be swift to hear and slow to speak. And number seven, control your emotions. Be slow to wrath. And the better we follow these principles in life, the smoother our ride will be on the road of life.